You may be seated. And those of you at home who are already seated, you may remain seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so thankful that you, on this rainy day, keep our hearts dry and warm our bodies, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. We have heard your word, and we pray now that the words that you have given me will give us further insight into you and how you would have us live our lives. I pray that you would forgive me my sins. They are many. We've come here to see Jesus and him only. Amen. This morning, the gospel passage is, well, it's just plain and simple short. And even though Mark is one to be very economic with his words, this one, you look and you say, well, what's going on here? But this is information that helps us understand about God and how he acts in time and space to meet our desires or not. The context is the same venue and events as the previous section that we read last week. And in fact, it is really all one pericope. It begins with verse 30 and the healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law, moves to later that evening when in verse 32 it says, that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Now, one quick side road here. Oftentimes, scripture, particularly in the Greek, uses the word city. And Capernaum was not a city in the sense that we think of a city. It was probably not very large. A little bit larger than Nazareth, but certainly not even close to Jerusalem's population. So back to our pericope. It moves from there, with everybody coming to his door to be healed, to Jesus leaving and going up into the hills and praying, communing with his Father, spending time with the Father. Then he says, then he's found by his disciples. It says that they went and hunted for him. So he wasn't in all the obvious places. He had found a place where he could quietly just absorb all that the Father had for him. In verse 38, then, he says, let us go to the neighboring towns. There he uses towns. So that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do. And he went through Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Now that brings us to the leper and our passage today. So let's dig in. First, I would have you note that the leper comes to Jesus and says, if you choose, you can make me clean. Verse 40. A leper came to him begging him and kneeling, he said, if you choose, you can make me king. You can make me clean. Now, begging is a good translation of the Greek periklone, which means to urge strongly, to appeal with great emphasis, to urge, to exhort, to encourage. So he's serious. He's impassioned about this. It's an impassioned plea. Then he says, if you choose, you can make me clean. The leper is a wise man. He understands that the choice is God's, not his. His is the desire. Now, the word for choose in the Greek is theles, which has two meanings. First, it means to have a desire for something, a wish, to have desire, to want. And the second meaning is to have something in mind for oneself, of purpose, of resolve, a will, a wish, a want. The leper understood clearly that Jesus as God did not have to heal him. It is God's choice. And God does not always choose what we ask for or even what we deeply desire and petition him in an impassioned way. Now, I wish I understood what the formula was that would cause God to act on one thing and not another. But of this I'm certain, there is no formula. It is God's choice in his sovereignty to choose. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians. Let's look at Paul's example. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 9. And Paul says this, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations that he has had. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from beaten. Now, let me stop there for a moment and point out, oftentimes people will say, why did God cause this to happen? I can assure you that if it is evil or if it is of no good, it is not of God. But it could be, as in Paul's case, of Satan, of evil. Evil could be attempting to discourage, to upset, to get in the way of God's plans if he can. I refer you again, as I have often, to C.S. Lewis's wonderful book, Screwtape Letters. And you get a real sense of how, from evil's perspective, even though they have certainly lost, evil still continues to battle. 3 times, going to verse 8, 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that this thorn would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. You see, others would look at him and see his struggle, and would understand that what's going on is God's enablement of Paul to work through this struggle, to work through this thorn. So, let's take another little quick side road. What is leprosy? We don't hear about it much anymore, because it's been pretty much eradicated. But in a world without modern medicine, there was the need to maintain tight medical controls to prevent the spread of contagious diseases. Several such conditions, mostly severe skin problems, were referred to as leprosy. Now, there's a lot of things under that umbrella in the ancient world. In fact, there are two long biblical chapters, I'll let you read them later, Leviticus 13 and 14, that are devoted to diagnosis and prevention of it. One of the things that is in Leviticus is that sufferers had to live away from the towns. They had to be quarantined. They had to be moved away and shout unclean to warn others not to approach them. Now, you look and you think, oh, wow, that's terrible. You want to know something interesting is if you've ever seen the movie Jezebel. The movie Jezebel is with Henry Ford and Bette Davis. And it's really an incredible movie on the part of both of them and their acting. But what it's about is the yellow fever in New Orleans in the late 1800s. You see, yellow fever was one of those things that was spread. And in fact, until Teddy Roosevelt's traveling to Panama for the Panama Canal, doctors didn't know what caused it. Well, they found out then that it was the mosquitoes. But until that time, what they would do, just as in Jezebel, they would take and collect all those who had yellow fever and take them to an island off the shore of New Orleans to protect the rest of the residents. Back to leprosy. If someone was healed from leprosy, this had to be certified by a priest. There's 30 verses on that and how it happens. So back to our pericope. And Jesus says, I do choose, be made clean. I do choose is actually one word, and it is thelo. And yes, it's related to the word that we looked at before that the leper begged for him to choose. Jesus says, thelo. Just like this morning that was read in the Old Testament, Nahum thought that Elisha should come out of his house, I don't know, floating, levitating in the air, and with angels at every side, and lightning in the skies, and him go up to Nahum and say, oh, in the name of Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, and then go into some sort of routine to heal him. Nahum was disappointed that he didn't get the show. See, he bought the ticket. He came with plenty of presents, but he didn't get the show. Elijah says, go wash in the Jordan. Jesus, even more simple than that, he says, thelo, I choose. I choose your desire. Second, not only did the leper come to Jesus, Jesus tells him to say nothing to anyone. Look at verses 46 and 44. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. Now, I. Howard Marshall, in the Open Your Bible commentary, writes this. Why Jesus sought to work in secret has become the major problem of interpretation in this gospel. It is most reasonable that Jesus himself was anxious not to make a public display which would precipitate a popular uprising. And I'll note, after all, you remember Capernaum, the whole town comes to Simon Peter's door because they want to be healed, because they heard he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. The people were looking for a Messiah who would fit with their own preconceived eyes and would rally to Jesus if he gave them any excuse to do so. He made a secret revelation of himself so that those with eyes might recognize him as God's messenger. And those who accepted him, he revealed himself more fully and openly. The way in which they often misunderstood him showed how right he was to adopt this manner of working. N.T. Wright says this: "Perhaps what Jesus was worried about then was news leaking out that he was doing things which seemed to challenge the authority of the temple itself. As we shall soon see, there was more of that to come. It wasn't just that if news of spectacular healings got around, he soon wouldn't be able to move for the crowds, and that is more or less what happened. It was that he might be attracting the wrong kind of notice. People would get angry. He was bypassing the system. And soon the question would be asked, is he really a loyal Jew? Can this message be about the kingdom of God, be real? Can we believe him? Isn't he dangerous? Has he gone too far?" You know, in all of this, the problem was that the leper needed to demonstrate that there had indeed been a healing. Otherwise, his healing does him no good, other than that he feels a lot better and his flesh isn't dripping off anymore. And I guess that's something. But Jesus commands the now healed leper to show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded. We find that command in Leviticus 1 and 32. So he's telling the leper, do what the book says. When in doubt, do what the book says. What's the book tell you to do? That's what you want to do. In all of this, the leper is so elated and so excited. But Jesus says, do it the way it's supposed to be done. And in that way, Jesus avoids, at this point, he's not ready to upset the apple cart. He's not ready to turn over the tables in the temple. He still has a lot of people to see and talk with and to share the gospel. Third, not only did the leper come to Jesus, and not only did Jesus tell him to say nothing about anyone, the leper went out and began to proclaim it freely. Look at verse 45. "But he went out and began to proclaim his healing freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country. And the people came to him from every quarter." There you go. That's what Jesus was concerned about. If the word got out too fast, and especially if the word got out and the leper had not followed the law, it was going to cause a problem. Now, I have to be honest, the leper did what anyone would do in his situation. He was excited. He was overjoyed. He was just beyond himself, and he couldn't keep silent. Now, interestingly, later Jesus would allow the voices to cry out as he made his way into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. Take a look at Luke chapter 19, verse 39 through 40. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop this." And he answers, "If these were to be silent, the stones would shout out." So here you have the leper who's told to not say anything to anyone who does go out and speak. And Jesus not wanting him to do that because he wasn't quite ready for it. But Jesus works with what he has. And the leper kind of pushes things forward a little bit. And yes, Jesus could no longer go into a town openly. He couldn't go into the synagogue as was his practice and minister from that Jewish center of each town. He has to stay out into the country. And yet, that probably did afford him a certain protection from the temple hierarchy. And by the way, the people found a way to find Jesus. It says the people came to him from every quarter. That's our application today. People will always find a way to find Jesus. When they are in the right place in their life, when they are ready to beg for healing, when they are ready to understand that it is God's to choose and God's alone, and when faithful, mature believers share their faith and love for Jesus, the people will find him. You pray about that. Amen.